Why do you go to bed at night? I could think of two reasons. So let's see if we can get like two main reasons that we go to bed at night. Why do you go to bed?
Rest.
Well, rest. But why? But why? Why do you need rest? You're tired. Okay. That's one reason. You're tired from the previous day, right? So that's one reason that we go to bed at night. There's another reason, I think. Sometimes I don't really feel that tired at night. Most of the time I feel that tired at night. But there's another reason why I go to bed sometimes. Because you gotta get up early the next day. So there's two purposes for rest and sleep at night. One is because you're tired from the day before, and the other is so that you can be refreshed and strong and alert in the day to come. The Sabbath, as it's presented, as we read in Exodus 31, and as it's presented throughout most of the Old Testament, is really about that first idea. You know, the Lord had created the earth, and then the Lord rested from his work. But it also said the Lord is refreshed. Okay, so there's kind of a looking back, but we also get a little glimpse of the gospel, which is that we don't just rest from our work, we also work from our rest. Does that make sense? Resting faithfully allows us to do God's work fruitfully. And I want to spend a little bit of time today on what it means not just to rest because we're tired from the work we've done, but also to work from the place of rest that we've found beforehand. And I think that the call to Sabbath, the call to spend that one day a week, and as we've talked about, there are lots of different kinds of Sabbath, not just a day a week, but also in the scriptures there are Sabbath festivals and there are Sabbath years and beyond. The reason that we take time in Sabbath is because it helps us in our relationship with work moving forward. And the first way it does that is by impacting the motives that we have for our work. The why questions. And it's easy to lose those when we get really tired. Sometimes we might even ask, why keep doing this? What is the point of it all? And especially when we're tired, those questions really, really get to us. And for a lot of us, the why is all about survival. It's about staying afloat, maintaining our employment, just getting through the day. We work just to get by. And it's not just with paid work. It's also a lot of times with moral work. So I want to do moral and good things just so I can get by as a moral person, or just so I don't get arrested if it's a legal issue, or just so other people will see me as a pretty good person. I'm going to do just enough just so I can survive on a moral ground. And it's also the work we do, not that we get paid for, the work that we just have to do, the work around the house that we do. I don't know about you, I'm not one of those people who goes around looking for projects to do around the house. I don't sit around and think, oh, if we did this, it would be so much better. I'm like, all right, if something's broken, I'll try and fix it, or I'll call someone else, or call one of you guys and ask you to help me to fix it, right? So, but I want to do just enough to survive. And sometimes even as a parent, there are those days where it's like, all I got is what I can do to get through the day and get the kids in bed and survive another day. A lot of times our work is about survival. And a lot of times it's just about proving to ourselves or to others that we're successful, that we're capable, that we're lovable, that we're worthy. In our work, the why question is often answered by questions of survival, of security, of stability, of success, of a feeling of significance. I'm very proud of all those S's. I had more too, believe me. But the creation story, in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, the creation stories, I should say, really get to the heart of not only who we are and who God is, but what our work is about, the why of our work. See, in Genesis 1, there are really two images for what God is doing in creation. The first is the image of a nest. The Spirit of God hovered over the waters. It's the word that is used for a bird hovering over its nest. And if you read through Genesis 1, it is like the Lord is building this nest, kind of the basics of light and darkness, and then fills them in a little bit at a time until the earth is filled with life, until the nest is ready for life to live in it, in a place of nurture and safety and security. And from that image, we're supposed to glean that we are cared for, that we are loved, that we are secure in our Creator. Before we did anything, this is who we are. So our work comes from this sense of being loved and secure in this nest of creation that God has built for us. The other image of Genesis 1, if you look at other texts in the Old Testament and in the ancient cultures, is the creation, it becomes an image of temple. That the creation that God makes is in itself a temple where the Lord's praises will be sung, where the Lord's glory will be displayed and known. And so this is the context then. When God says, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, till and keep it. We'll talk more about those terms in a minute. When God says that, this nest and this temple is the context for that work. That we are called to work from this place of security where we then cultivate. We don't work out of fear. We work to cultivate and care for the earth. And we work to evoke the Gloria in Excelsis Deo, that song we sing a lot of times at Christmas time. Glory to God alone. That is what we work to do, to evoke that song that the whole creation was made to sing. And so in Luke 12, when Jesus is talking to them about their worries to the people, you know, why do you work? Why do you strive for all these things? He says, all of those things you're striving for, the security and the significance and the stability and the success and all of that, you already have it in your Creator. It's not from your work. All those basic necessities are provided by the God who made you and the God who loves you. And that changes then, I think, how we think about work and the why of our work. Through Christ, we are restored to God's creative intent. And so we are able to rest from our strivings of self and survival. And instead of working and straining ourselves for those things, we are able to work for the glory of God. And to evoke God's creative purposes and praises in this world. Do you see how that motive, that why question is different when we understand both our createdness and who we become in Christ? So rest allows us to get back, to stop the strivings and to remember our security in Christ. And it changes the motive for our work. We work from our rest. Secondly, then, rest allows us to reestablish and reassess the meaning of our work. So there are a lot of words and images used in Genesis 1 and 2 that we're going to look at just really quickly. And the first is this word image that God says, in the image of God, we will create them. Male and female, God created us in his image. And that word, there's a lot of theories on what that word means. We've talked about it here before, but in the ancient world, that word image of God, it wasn't a new term. In that world, the image of God was often used for royalty. The king or the queen or the nobility, they were seen as the images of God, but not the canal diggers, not the farmers, not any of the other manual and mundane laborers. They were not images of God. And so as one commentator says, that in Genesis 1, the scriptures established that in God's eyes, all of humankind is royal. All of humanity is related to God, not just the king. And so whatever work we do, it's royal work. It's work that reflects the heart of God and of the Creator. And so from that place, then we look at these terms: be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it. And that word has been taken really wrongly a lot of times throughout history. It's probably an agricultural word, which means to work the land, to bring the land to a place where it can bring life. It's a term from agriculture. So subdue the earth, use it to bring life and cultivate life. Exercise dominion. Again, all of us, as we work, we're not just mundane people who don't matter. We are VIPs, we're royalty. We are called to have authority over the earth and to use that authority in the ways God uses his authority to create and bring life. And then the one words I want to zoom in on a little bit are in Genesis 2:15. This is after God has formed the man out of the clay and breathed life into him. And it says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it." And those words are very important. Those are the words avad, which is to serve, and shomer, which is to keep. And those words are important because they're also used for how we serve God. So listen to Deuteronomy 13. "The Lord your God you shall follow, him alone you shall fear, his commandments you shall keep," shamar, "his voice you shall obey, him you shall serve," avad, "and to him you shall hold fast." So the work that we do in creation is related to the work that we do in following God. We are servants and keepers of the earth and of the call and commandments of God. So all of these words, fruitful, multiply, fill, subdue, exercise dominion, till, and keep, are all words that have to do with life-giving work, with bringing life, with arranging the world in a way that benefits life and allows it to flourish. And then ultimately it was Christ who came to fulfill God's purposes for humanity. Because we know what we've done with God's commandments. We know what we've done with God's creation. Instead of serving and keeping, instead of bringing life, too often we have brought death and sought our own self-interest. And so Christ comes to fulfill the purposes of humanity, to serve, right? He says, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve," avad. "And to fulfill," he said, "the law," the commandments, "to keep the commandments." And in so doing, Christ brings life and evokes the praises of God from peoples of all tribes and nations throughout the world. And it is when then we rest in him, when we hear his call, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest," when we take our rest in Christ, we become restored to our full humanity and we recover the true meaning of our work, to bring life and to evoke the praises of God in this temple that is God's creation. And so on your Sabbath, when you take rest, and I encourage you to take at least 15 minutes each day this week of rest. And I encourage you during that time to ask questions about your work. What kind of work am I doing? And why am I doing it? Am I doing this work just to survive, just to get by, just to make sure I have everything I need, and then tomorrow I have to keep striving and striving and striving? Or am I doing this work from a place of rest where I know that I am secure and significant in God's care? And what kind of work am I doing? Am I doing work that brings life? Am I doing work that serves the world and the people that God has made and keeps his commandments? Or am I doing something else? And the answers to those questions can be hard to hear if we're honest with ourselves. It may mean changing something. It may mean there is work that you're doing that you need to stop doing, because it's not meeting the whys or the whats of what God created you for. But it also might mean, not simply, but differently, a new perspective on the work that you are already doing. A metanoia, a repentance, a change of your mind and how you think about the work that you are going to every day. The work that you get paid for, the work of parenting, the work of grandparenting, the work of being a good neighbor, the work around your house, around your yard. That if you are parenting, you're not just doing it to survive or keep your kids in line, but to cultivate the fullness of life that God created your children for. That if you're an accountant, that you're not just working with numbers, you're helping people to steward the blessings and the resources that God has given them in hopes that they might be shared and bring life to others. If you work with health insurance, that you're not just, you know, following all the regulations, but you are actually helping people have healthy bodies so that they can live full lives. If you're a pastor, or if you're a disciple in general, what work are we doing to bring life and to evoke God's creative purposes and songs of praise in this world? Resting faithfully allows us to do God's work fruitfully. And following God's command to rest helps to realign our motives and restore the meaning to our work so that others may see our good work and sing the songs of glory to our Father in heaven. Let's pray. Loving and gracious God, as we approach your table today, I pray that it would be a chance to sit and receive the gifts of life that we have in Christ. And then as we eat the bread and drink the cup, and receive the gifts that they symbolize, that we might be strengthened and guided and shaped and filled to do the good work that you are calling us to do this week and beyond, so that the whole world might know that you are the true King, that Christ is our Savior, and the Spirit is among us. Amen.